The third model, the third framework is the multi-attribute attitude models. Here it examines the attitude in terms of a selected product attributes or the belief. So multiple attributes of the product is considered for evaluation. We cover the selected these three Fishbein models: attitude towards the object, attitude towards the behavior, and theory of reasoned action model. So this third model has a three different subset. However, if I had to give you a simple example, that you are considering, you have moved to a new locality, suppose, and you are considering selecting your dry cleaner for a long term. So you have a dry cleaner, you have identified 3-4 dry cleaners. Now that 3-4 dry cleaners, you have multiple attribute on which you will evaluate: neatness, the service, the close proximity to your home, price, etc. So you will examine them on these multiple attributes. So that's what the multiple attribute model. Your mind will rank them, your mind will tell you that this is a guy is a better, etc. But in behind there is this weightage, and there is this ranking, etc., that happens, that enables you to determine. So there are these subset that we will try to understand. Attitude towards object model, suitable for measuring attitude towards a product or a specific brand, as the name suggests, attitude towards object, or attitude object, as we have earlier studied. So attitude towards object model, here specific object, that is product or a brand, that will be under formation of an attitude. Consumer attitude is defined as a function of the presence or the absence, and evaluation of number of product specific beliefs or product attributes possessed by the product or a specific brand of the product. So now let's dissect that. It's not that I was reading, I'm reading for you. Now let's dissect that. Function of the presence or absence, and evaluation of number of product specific, a function of presence or the absence of certain attributes, certain beliefs or the product attributes in a specific product or the brand. So that's how the attitude gets formed, Dane. So that's what the attitude towards object model. We are studying the multi-attribute model. In that, attitude towards object model is one, where the object is one product or the service. Multi-attributes, that the attributes of the product or the service, their presence or an absence will determine your attitude towards that product or the service. So that's the gist of it. Consumers have generally favorable attitude towards those brands they assess as having an adequate level of positive attributes. So naturally you will be positive towards those who have expected multiple attributes by you present in them. So then only they will come under your positive frame of mind and the evoke set, etc. So that's a given of the attitude towards object model. The next this thing is the attitude towards behavior model. So there's a second subset under multi-attribute models that we are studying. The focus of this model is that individual's attitude towards behavior or acting in respect to the object rather than the attitude towards the object itself. So let's understand this. Is the individual's attitude towards behavior or acting with respect to the object. So he doesn't evaluate the attitude object, but it is like his overall evaluation about the object in general that determines his behavior. So my attitude towards say pregnancy kit or the other pregnancy kit, it is not that I evaluate. My attitude towards why should one use pregnancy kit, yani only when you do wrong things you have to need, right? That's how I argue it. So my overall attitude towards that object itself is not favorably poised. Okay, somebody, my friend may say, hey, aaj ke din mein available, so why not, you know, types. So that's how the attitude, this thing, towards the, so my behavior is governed by the object, not rather the product or the brand in question. Attitude towards behavior model is that it seems to correspond closely to actual behavior. Then does the attitude towards object model, purchase of dimmed BMW car at the rate of 2 crores. So may sound irrational, but it's like people are doing it. People are buying that costly car. So my attitude towards object may be not favorable, but attitude towards the behavior, I may say, yaar, if he has a capability, why should he not buy, you know? So that's what the whole thing is to do with the overall behavioral affective state that I am into for a particular object, not about particular product or the particular attitude object, so to say. Bit of a wordplay, but please understand appropriately. Now, friends, we will study this framework called Theory of Reasoned Action Model. It is given as a fourth model overall under the understanding of the attitude, but it is also a third model under the multi-attribute model. If you see, this is where we came. The multi-attribute model is a three selected different Fishbein models. So, Theory of Reasoned Action Model. Theory of Reasoned Action Model is also represented as the fourth framework or model overall under the understanding of attitude. It's an integrative since it takes the cognitive, affective and connotative component in consideration. So, this is a model framework which considers the collective this thing of all the three components of a attitude formation. Behavior can be traced back to the intention to act, which itself results from the consumer's attitude towards the behavior and subjective norms. So, result is, now it goes into the reverse this thing, where the cognitive this thing, which is the behavioral aspects, which says that the behavior is a result of attitude towards the behavior. So, that's an affective model this thing, and then from there, this is a subjective norm in the sense it gets formed because you have a cognitive capabilities in you. So, theory of a reasoned action, reasoning is there behind your proposed action. So, that's what this theory is all about. Attitude towards the behavior represents the overall favorability towards the purchase. So, you are overall, you have become favorable towards the purchase. So, that's a cognitive component, this thing that has been discussed out here. However, subjective norm influence the intention to act. So, subjective norm is all from the affective state and a cognitive state. So, I have evaluation, but which is incomplete and it's not allowing me to infer conclusively, or my past experiences not have been always good, etc. So, I am little reluctant, as we say many times. So, your behavioral this thing is though favorably poised, there are subjective norm, which is the outcome of your affective component and a cognitive component hindering your final decision. So, subjective norm has two components, favorable or unfavorable. So, the subjective norm which is mentioned, you are either favorably poised or you are unfavorably poised. The predisposition is favorable or unfavorable. We can see all these elements have an interconnection. So, therefore, it's a theory of reasoned action model. Actual behavior is preceded by the intention, which in turn preceded by the attitude, subjective norms. So, actual behavior which I take is a base is there in the intention. Intention is out of the attitude that I have towards. So, attitude is a towards the norm, or the this subjective norm is my affective state. And affective state is possible only I have a cognitive this thing already done. Otherwise, if I have not done any cognitive understanding, my affective state will not come. We also learn that an intention predicts behavior better than the attitude. Intention is more important than the attitude, as they say. Of course, intention is a result of attitude, but understanding intention is far more practical, better than the understanding of the attitude. So, that's where a bit of a understanding that needs to be there. Therefore, this is a theory of reasoned action model, as they say. There is a reasoning behind the action that you are taking, which is an intention-led. But intention is a result of your affective state, and affective state is a result of your cognitive capability that you have already evaluated. Attitude towards the ad model. This is a fifth model, overall understanding of the attitude. So, advertising influences consumers' attitude towards the brand. So, this talks about only about the advertising. Yes, marketing, communication, advertising does impact. So, how this happens? Consumers comes to acquire various feelings and judgment about the ad after the exposure. After I get an exposure, certain judgment, certain feelings comes into me. So, when Cadbury moved to aaj kuch meetha ho jaye, it evoked that feeling. Yaar, every time sweet kya karna hai? Yaar, aaj Cadbury try karte hai. You know, aaj pahli tarikh hai. Yaar, let's celebrate. Got a salary. So, pahli tarikh ko generally salary ka wo tha. So, that's why it created that positive, this thing, thank you campaign by Cadbury. Yes, I have gone and done that to my service provider. So, but then for that I have to acquire it. And so, advertising does influence That is a judgment that comes from the experience or the exposure that I have about the advertisement, and then I form my attitude. This influences the attitude to the ad and the belief about the brand. So when this thing happened and when I saw the advertisement and the exposure that I got, my attitude or my belief towards the brand got strengthened. Okay, here is a company or the brand understands us better, understands India better. Okay, this consequently affects the attitude towards a brand. So I consider it as my family brand. Whenever there is a need for a Cadbury, the name comes to mind is Mondelez Cadbury. Okay, so that's what is the crux of it. That attitude towards the ad model has a exposure-led attitude formation that takes place. And when I get exposed to a message, then I gradually build my judgment, my attitude towards the brand. I accept the brand and then I get drawn towards the brand. Even today, say when the pregnancy kit or pregnancy pill kind of advertisement comes, it is still a kind of a reluctance there, you know, to accept, because okay, probably I am not tuned to accepting this. So my judgment there falls short. Therefore, I prefer to not build a judgment and stay away from building a judgment. So I will probably not recommend. Need for me to consume is not there, but I will not recommend either. So that's how overall advertisement related exposure and its play on your mind to form the judgment. From judgment, your affective state, which gets decided. Affective states translates into the cognitive or the behavioral state. So that's the linkage that we are trying to understand. A component of attitude, elements in attitude towards the ad model. So okay, this gives you the idea wherein how the attitude to ad model gets exposed. So here exposure to the ad happens. So when that happens, you form a judgment about the ad, which is a cognition. Feeling towards the ad, which is an affective this thing state. Okay, if judgment this thing is possible, belief about the brand gets formed. You believe about the brand, belief about the brand positive, attitude towards the brand gets developed. So I get a favorable attitude towards the brand. Same way, if you see here, after the exposure, feeling from the ad. So that's a affective state. Yani I develop a feeling that will bring me closer to the ad. Yani I will accept the advertisement. So my linkage with the brand, attitude towards the brand will get favorable. So that's how the overall linkage is there. You also see the cross linkage. From a judgment, I may directly go towards attitude towards the ad. Yani from the judgment, I may form an attitude towards the ad. Instead of belief about the brand, I may form the attitude towards the ad. And if that happens, if I believe it, then my attitude towards the brand also will get favorable. Same way, feeling of the ad, if the affective component is favorable, I may form a belief about the brand and then attitude towards the brand will get favorably poised. That will lead me to take the action. So we have overall understood the fifth model, attitude towards the ad model. So understanding this further, consumer attitude towards the ad must be distinguished into cognitive and affective aspect. Cognitive, which is thinking based, information based. Affective is a conclusive feeling development phase out of the information. Affective responses describe what we feel after seeing an ad: amused, sad, inspired, joyous. So that's what we face it. The cognitive evolution describes our judgment, the judgment about reading from the ads, and whether the ad was humorous, interesting, believable, horrible, etc. So that's how we do our cognitive evaluation, while the affective evaluation will look at what we feel about this advertisement when we see that. So that's how, but overall it should reflect into attitude towards the brand. So if attitude towards the brand gets built, intention to acquire it comes in, and intention will compel me to take the action. The favorable attitude shows towards the brand after exposure is likely to veer off as we move away from the exposure. So if we do not get exposed again and again, our attitude may likely to veer off. That's the reason why you see that most Cadbury advertisement keeps coming regularly, toothpaste, and so they keep coming. The idea is they should remain on the top of your mind. So true that the favorable attitude towards the ad does not save a poor brand. So if you have to look at it in another way, poor brand may keep doing the ads, still they will not find the favorable attitude, because overall the brand, the believability, cognitive, this thing is also not matching. My attitude towards the advertisement is not making me believe that advertisement, etc. Therefore, my attitude towards the brand will never improve, even if I get repeated exposure. So that also needs to be understood. The poor brand with the poor track record, poor cognitive ability, that I have a poor past experience, cannot stand to benefit. While the favorable brand coming again and again is actually building my exposure, my judgment, my attitude towards the ad becomes more and more favorable, and I do that. Repeatedly I go back to the brand. Attitude towards the ad affects brand attitude. So ultimately it leads to the brand affect my attitude. And in that case, the preference, a more case of innovation, again, that's an attitude towards, if advertisement talks about innovation, this thing, I will immediately make a judgment, I will immediately believe the advertisement, and I will immediately form my attitude towards the brand. Because somebody talking about innovative features, innovative product, etc., I am immediately hooked on to it, and I go, oh, they have done something new. So that's why attitude towards the ad model is very important from the marketing communication perspective point of view. Okay, wherein the challenge is, either you have a current favorable attitude, you have to leverage, you have a static attitude, you have to make it favorable, you have an adverse attitude, you have to change it to favorable attitude. So that's a challenge, that marketing communication. So therefore this model is useful. Ad exposure leading to belief determines brand attitudes much more for familiar products. So once you form a familiar, once you form a favorable this thing about a particular brand, various product category under that brand will also get leverage. So Gillette, when as a name, have created such a favorable attitude, whether it is Gillette razor, whether Gillette shaving gel, whether Gillette aftershave, etc., will evoke a positive attitude towards the product. There could be both positive and negative feelings towards the ad simultaneously. There are cases where at times you feel favorable, at times you feel negative about this. This both things can influence the attitude at a particular point of time in a particular situation. So that's a one variable that advertisers needs to be cautious about. Your particular communication for the same person at times may evoke positivity, at times evoke negativity, all in the particular state of mind. So that state of mind needs to be understood and then accordingly handled. Okay, so during say COVID, this thing and all, you, if you try to show say very celebrative this thing, etc., kind of advertisement, people may not, because they themselves are constrained and they are not allowed to go out and enjoy, and you are talking about celebration in your advertisement, so then the same person builds the not so favorable attitude, and that may not culminate into him buying the product. So one need to really understand this also aspects, though it may be looking trivial and the last point, so to say, out here, but it is equally important. So continuing our understanding of the components of attitude, after we understood all the five attitude models, the framework, as you say, the attitude formation stage is also important for us to know. We know by now that the people hold attitude towards the objects. So attitudes are formed towards the objects. We have attitude towards garment like jeans, soft drinks like Coke, brands, Aquafina versus Kinley, etc. So there is this attitude towards the object or the product or the brand, which may be the case. What factors influence this attitude? So the question comes, what is it that is influencing this attitude? Are we influenced by celebrity endorsing it? So certain products you see celebrity coming and talking, actual celebrity or a representative celebrity. What effects do mass media like television and the newspaper have on the attitude? That's another question. People get carried away by mass media or the digital exposure. Do friend or the family member affect us? Does the influencer have a role in affecting our attitude? Some attitudes are long lasting and some keep on changing. So when it comes to societal concerns, when it comes to care for the poor, etc., okay, I have a standard attitude. The company that will come to my mind will be the, say, House of Tatas. But for others, it may be changing. You know, in automobile, my attitude towards there keep changing. Sometimes negative, sometimes favorable. Okay, so it depends on what they did on that front. Okay, so that's how there is something which will remain standard, static over a long term, something which will change due to my exposure coming to me. So that's how the formation takes place. Marketeer must therefore understand how the attitudes are formed, how attitudes are sustained, how attitudes have changed or changing. You know, that's what they need to understand. Essentially, therefore, attitude formation happens due to what? Information. Information is what? Learning. Information and then analyzing is nothing but the learning process. So one need to know the learning process of its target customers. There are some sources of influence on the attitude formation. So source of the information, credibility of it, etc. also matters, and how it influences the attitude formation. So something which is coming in, say PricewaterhouseCoopers or say Forbes magazine, etc., I will believe it vis-a-vis something which is coming into local magazine or a media, I may suspect, by how far this may be right. Personality affects attitude formation. Overall personality, whether I am positively poised, I am a status quo kind of guy, I am a negatively poised personality, etc., that will determine my attitude towards the object, the brand, the product, as the case may be. So attitude formation is a very complex aspect. At the same time, if you remain aligned to the fact that it's a cognitive, affective and cognitive state, ultimately irrespective of the five modules that we have understood, in this domain, in these three areas, your attitude formation takes place. Once you know that, and once you understand there are certain attitudes which remain longer and why they remain longer, and there are certain attitudes which change, attitudes can be favorable or unfavorable or status quo, and because attitudes can be influenced, you as a marketeer get on to influencing, leverage positive, status quo needs to be changed to favorable and negative needs to be changed to favorable. So that's the overall this thing about the attitude formation. Then we come to learning process. So we briefly understand the learning process. I have mentioned time and again, attitude can be shifted. Shift in attitude favorably towards the objective when there is a condition with no attitude towards an object. If there is no attitude, easy for you to shift the attitude favorably. Learning is a medium which can cause this shift. Even if the negative this thing is there, you can still create a shift, may take a time, but that is possible only through learning. So what is learning? So cognitive learning theory is related to attitude formation. So cognitive learning theory talks about a lot of information, information that enables the inferences, information that enables the comprehension, information that enables the comparison. So comparison, comprehension and inference development related feed to the target audience will enable him to form his attitude. A brand name is that a favorable viewed is associated with say innovation. We tend to purchase it very often. So iPhone, irrespective of its new launch, etc., the price, people will always know that this will be further costlier than the previous model. There are people who tend to grab it when it is launched because it is linked with innovativeness. You will not be disappointed, as they say, blindly purchase it. You know, those kind of a belief in that brand. That is because of the past learning, the past exposure that they have created, and that is what has been created by Apple. They have constantly feed people with the innovative information so that consumers start looking at you as an innovative brand. So learning is a continuous process. Journey from a neutral to favorable attitude depends on the experience and the use of information. So how I get the information, how I use, and what is the experience that I got. So experience is also primary driver. That's why the customer satisfaction is also such a hot topic. Subject and science of learning theory learned earlier will apply. We have learned about the science of a learning theory, etc. So that same thing will be apply out here. So sources of influence could be family influence, could be peer and the group influence, could be my own experience is an influence. Direct and mass marketing influences, I will have something which is directly coming to me, or something I get and exposed to mass marketing. My personality influences will drive my attitude towards the object. However, through a learning, I am retaining something, I am changing some attitude towards the object. So that is something that marketer need to understand and accordingly create a marketing communication plan. So attitude change. Now under formation, we have learned Now we learn about attitude change. A change in attitude can be influenced by learning, source of information and a personality. So again here, what learning you impart, what is the source and how you influence the personality part. In marketing, it is all about retaining attitude or changing attitude. There are two challenges. If it is favorable, challenge is to retain it. If it is not favorable, challenge is to change it towards you. Several strategies are adopted to bring the change in the attitude. The ad agency therefore exists, you know, primarily for managing the attitude change. Through a marketing communication, creative rendering, etc., they are supposed to bring that attitude change. Okay, so that attitude change is a very powerful connotation linked to the advertiser and the ad agency. Their primary association, the foundation of their association is the ability to change the attitude towards the attitude object, that is their product or the brand. So we have understood this subject of entire subject of attitude and how it is learnt, how it can be influenced and how it can be changed. I am sure you found this subject very interesting out here. Thank you.